Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where have you been all week? Oh my goodness, it's been fantastic here this week on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our Due Time crew, and we talked about things you should never say to your spouse or your partner. Okay, how about you're acting just like they say that comparison statement can easily be seen as an insult, especially if that like is not a good person or a good thing. Yeah, they say that's an easy way to make an enemy. What about what's wrong with you? Now, they say one of the easiest ways to put someone on a defense is to ask them, what's wrong with you? Okay? And, that's a split feeling. You know, not everybody agrees, not everybody disagrees. Okay? Well, what about the one that says, just look on the bright side? Oh, somebody do time crew said, if you want to make them mad, tell them to look on the bright side. How do you know that they have a bright side? Don't be changing up, their way of looking at things. And what do you want me to do about it? They said that is definitely one that would truly make a person upset. Yes. So, we all have things that, someone says that they don't want you to say to them. But, I will admit that I'm the type of person, when it comes to a relationship, I only want you to speak to me the way I speak to you. If I don't curse at you, don't curse at me. If I don't, say certain things to you, don't say certain things to me. If I don't greet you a certain way, don't greet me a certain way. Yeah, I'm just that kind of touchy like that. Yes, but only with my partner, not, with everybody. But that's what I'm saying. You got to make sure that the balance goes well, because not everybody, feels the same way. So we did have some phrases that everyone of the Due Time crew members agreed on, and then we had other phrases that some of the Due Time crew said, okay, I don't mind if you say that to me, or that's not a big deal, or no, you shouldn't have. So, we can get those split phrases every now and then. Okay, well, We could not finish a Monday morning without the switch tip with Shanti. And this week was, oh, I just had it. God's process for you. What's the beginning word? Trust. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I had it. And all of a sudden, I just lost my thought. Trust God's process for you. You know, God's process is not his process for everybody, especially these days. You know, back in the day, you know, everybody seemed to go kind of like the same route, you know, something basic. But now it's just a tad bit different. It seems like God is really dealing with people just a little differently, and everybody's not going to have the same process. You know, you may go 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Somebody else might go 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody else might go 5, 10, 15, 20. You don't know. But you do know that God has a plan for you. It is God's plan for you, which means if it's God's plan for you, then it's God's process for you. I am so tired of hearing people say, you know, well, a man is supposed to do this, and a man is supposed to do that, and a man shouldn't have this or do it this way, or a man shouldn't do it that. Listen, listen, listen. Everything is not going to go as the world has laid it out. Now, you know, back in the day, you know, not that long ago, however you want to look at it, you know, you have to say that, yes, you know, like I said, pretty much everybody kind of went the same way. These days and times with the world telling God no, you don't know what God is going to do. And if you are on the side of God, or if God has a special plan for you because there's something that you need to get accomplished, then trust that you may not go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So listen, at the end of the day, trust God's process for you. You know, you may live a little longer, or your life may be, you know, just a little bit lighter. And yeah, it is, because if you're scratching your head trying to figure out God and trying to figure out why you don't have to do things that other people have done, or why you have to do things that other people don't have to do, it just may not make sense. But know that if you've got a relationship with God, then, you know, your process might be just a little bit different. Okay? All righty. So we rolled on over to Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, we talked about some discipline problems with these children. Now, these days and times, we don't know what works and what doesn't work. Again, years ago, there was just one way of getting that discipline and done, and it just, you know, was different. Now, you just don't know. And, you know, this thing called respect works for some parents, and it really doesn't work for others, because I'm sorry, I'm not knocking on the door asking, can I come in? And you might get that knock to warn you that I'm coming in. But, I don't know. It don't seem to be working very well. So, you know, we got to make sure that we're checking that process that we have in the discipline area. It may not work for you what somebody else is doing, so that it's not cookie cutter. Okay? All right. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and those COVID numbers, all five states going up, 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 okay? And pretty much those are the most visited states, Vivian found out when she did her little research, okay? All righty. Well, she also talked about that the marijuana smoking is linked to a higher risk of heart attack. And unfortunately, we're finding out that it's more and more and more true. Okay. So, you know what, ma'am, again, God's process for you may not be doing what everybody else is doing, and because marijuana is legal, it doesn't mean that you have the luxury of smoking the marijuana and having a great outcome. No, it doesn't mean that. All right, so we're going to have to make sure we get this thing together, because everybody doesn't have the same journey. So, you know, everybody's puffing and puffing. And it ain't working too well. It's not working too well. Okay? All righty. Well, the ladies dropped on by this week. And oh, my goodness, they did their thing. I got to tell you. Well, they talked about ways to break the strongholds. Yes. And one of the first ones, and I just like to keep talking about this, know your opponent. There is no way you're going to be in a fight of your life, and if you don't know who in the world you're fighting, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Claim what's yours. Victory is mine. Again, everybody's process is not the same as the other ones. So you know what? When God drops something in your lap and you have won, claim that it's yours. If you think you won, claim it's yours. Okay? Because a strong prayer life is a prayer life that will let you know when you're victorious and when you're not. Okay? All right. Come on. Let's get that together. Well, we also had our, what do you call that thing? Faith over fear. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we want to make sure that we do what we have to do and put that faith over fear. Do not allow yourself to become beat down and beat up and you truly forget what's going on. And now your faith is way out the window, because you're going to need that faith in order to make it. Yeah, that's really not going to be an easy thing to do if you leave your faith behind. Okay? All righty. Yesterday was a fantastic conversation as well, as we talked about betrayal. Oh, and we've had which betrayal was worse. Either this or either that. And I have to tell you, you know, we had some good comparisons. We had whether, you know, the brand new bike from the gift from the dad was stolen, or the family jewelry was stolen. And believe it or not, there was a split there. Yes, someone thought that, you know, that bike being stolen was really the larger betrayal, and the rest of the group thought that the jewelry being stolen was the biggest betrayal. Yes, and we really got some good comparisons going on. Okay, how about the one where it says, you know, she ended the 30-year marriage, or she told everyone about the friend's pregnancy without permission. Yeah, we had some good ones yesterday. We had some good ones yesterday. Okay, so, and we had our due time crew give us the greatest betrayals they could ever remember going, you know, experiencing. And we had them talk about the betrayals that they themselves had been guilty of at one point in their life. And did we get some stories? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, hearing those betrayal stories really helped me celebrate the fact that Jesus is real. and he is the one who can really change your life from anything. You know, it really, really, and I really inside, I celebrated when I listened to the stories, and, you know, not even those particular stories, but knowing that, you know, there were other stories that were, you know, parallel to them. And yet God has moved us all out of that zone. We can all talk about those things went on in our former life. Mm-hmm. All righty. So that's how we spent our week. Now today is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever it is we want to do. Well, we talk to the men on Friday. That's Men's Day. And last week, we had some kind of conversation to take us into the weekend. Okay, so we're looking forward to that today. And we've got some conversation to be had. There's not a particular topic today. But you know what? All we got to do is talk about the news. And we can come up with some stuff. All right? So let's get ourselves together. You know, it's time for us to take that healthy break. Yes, go get that healthy breakfast. Go let someone know that it's due time where Pastor Steph is on. And make sure we don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
I'm Joe Flacco, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm also a proud supporter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. My niece Chelsea was born with cystic fibrosis. CF is a rare disease that shortens lives. The CF Foundation is making great progress towards a cure, but we're not in the end zone yet. We still lose young people to CF every day. I want Chelsea and all people with CF to live long and full lives. Join a team that saves lives. Support the search for a cure today.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Freestyle Friday. Yes, God has been so gracious that he has walked us straight through into the end of the week. And I say walk because we have had no hurt, harm, or danger come before us. Yes, you know, in the beginning of the week, or the middle of the week, we got some bit of bad news. But in the grand scheme of things, it could have been worse. It could have been more bad news, or, you know, anything could have happened. Anything else could have happened. But we give God thanks through the good times and the bad times. Okay, so get those pens out. I got a little bit of information for you. Okay, so let's find out some of the things we're storing all wrong in the kitchen. Yeah, they say you leave olive oil by the stove. Well, they say to maintain quality. When it comes to your olive oil, make sure you keep it in a tightly sealed container inside a cabinet away from the stove or other heat. Okay? They say that olive oil, once open, can last 3 to 5 months when stored properly in a pantry. Okay? They say if you opt to keep olive oil in the refrigerator, it will solidify, and it needs to reach room temperature before it can be measured for cooking. Okay, all right. Ah, you keep coffee in the pantry. Well, okay, that's interesting. They say coffee loses quality quickly at room temperature. They say when it's ground, coffee has a drastically higher surface area, causing its quality to degrade even faster. They say keep ground coffee in an airtight container in the freezer to minimize exposure to air, light, and moisture. Only remove the container from the freezer briefly to measure out what's needed. Wow. They say the ground coffee, after opening at 2 weeks in the pantry, a month in the refrigerator, and up to a year in the freezer. Wow. So keeping it in the pantry kind of shortens its expiration. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting, because I don't know one person who keeps coffee in the refrigerator, and I don't think I know anybody who keeps coffee in the freezer. Well, make some freezer space. Well, it would never last in our freezer, because we can't ever find no freezer space. So we don't drink coffee. Okay. Ah, they say you chop produce in advance. They say pre-sliced fruit and bagged salads are convenient. But once a piece of produce is cut, it begins to degrade and the quality will decrease. And I got to tell you, that's absolutely true. Once you cut, it seems like it just goes bad so much quicker. Okay? They say make sure you cut it right before you get ready to use it. So they say when you cut an onion fresh, it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And if you cut those onions, put them in the refrigerator for 3 days, cover it up tightly, and bring them out, they'll still be good to eat. But you're going to open them up, and they will have a more sulfur smell because the quality is constantly degrading. Okay? So don't cut your stuff, and don't put it in the freezer. Yeah, because when you defrost it, especially like onions and peppers, it becomes all soggy. Yeah, so it doesn't have that crisp, fresh feel. Okay? They say you put bread in the refrigerator. Say fresh bread that you don't plan to eat within a couple of days is best stored in the freezer. When left at room temperature, it may grow mold. And when stored in the refrigerator, it may dry out and go stale. All righty. Well, you know, stale bread is good for stuffing, croutons, and breadcrumbs. Yes, old bread. And I'm going to tell you something else. Bread pudding. Yeah, you know, bread pudding is better when the bread is old. When you use fresh bread for bread pudding, it doesn't have that same taste. Old bread has a better flavor for bread pudding. Pre-sliced whole wheat bread typically lasts 3 to 5 days in the pantry, but freezing will keep it fresh for 3 months. Wow. Okay. What else are we doing wrong in the kitchen? You store spices in the cabinet. Well, where else could spices go? They say spices don't go bad in the same way milk goes bad. Rather, the flavor and aroma of your spices, the flavor and aroma of your spices may start to fade over time due to exposure to air, heat and humidity. Whole spices last longer in the pantry, 3 to 4 years, than ground spices, 2 to 3 years. Okay, which the exception is salt. Okay, and they say salt lasts indefinitely. To preserve the flavor and aroma of spices, especially those you don't use, store them in a Ziploc bag in the freezer. I don't know about this, y'all, because I tell you, I guess we would get a whole lot more usage out the freezer, so we need to buy another freezer, because that would get lost in our freezer. Couldn't find anything. All right. Oh, next thing. You toss out honey too soon. Wow. They say honey has a shelf life of 2 years in the pantry. And some people get rid of theirs early for the wrong reason. When honey loses moisture, it crystallizes, causing an increase in the concentration of sugar. Okay, and they say this occurs when the jar isn't sealed properly or when it sits on the shelf unused for too long. They say that's not a sign that honey is really going bad and it's unsafe to consume. They say to salvage crystallized, cloudy, or solidified honey, heat the jar in the microwave or in a pan of hot water to melt the crystals. Wow. Okay. Okay. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad at all. Okay. Something else we do wrong. They say you save cook life too long. Okay. They say rice can contain a heat-resistant bacteria that can survive the boiling process. So they say as the rice cools, the germ can come out of its shell and grow on the rice, even at refrigerated temperatures. So they say after about 48 hours, rice should be thrown out or frozen. Wow. Ooh. Although a broad range of foods can carry bacteria, illness is most frequently associated with improperly refrigerated starchy grains. So symptoms may include diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting lasting up to 24 hours. Wow. Wow. All right. And here's another thing they say that we do wrong. You stole flour in the cupboard. They say unless you're an avid baker, you probably don't go through a lot of flour. You also probably keep your flour in a kitchen cabinet, which reduces its shelf life. White flour lasts 6 to 8 months in the pantry after opening, but a year if refrigerated after opening. Wheat flour lasts 6 to 8 months if refrigerated after opening, but twice as long if it would be unrefrigerated. Wow, so that's the actual opposite. Okay, so they say that major food companies have worked to keeping the whole grain flour in a freezer before shipping to retail stores to maintain the freshness. To store flour in your refrigerator or freezer, they recommend sealing it in an airtight container to block moisture and prevent the absorption of odors. Okay. Wow. I'm liking this list. Because I tell you, this has, we've got to change some habits here. Yeah, do you find that you had to change some habits? Yeah, because we surely don't keep the flour in the refrigerator. We just have no space. So we have to get a new refrigerator. We have to get a brand new freezer to store all the stuff that we keep in the cabinet. We're in trouble. Wow. Okay. So let's talk about some news. What are we talking about today? Well, we're talking about a Baltimore man who's accused of hitting two Asian sisters with a cement block. And something that we're not going to be too happy about, but we talk about quite a bit here on his due time with Pastor Steph. So this man, who's 51, was indicted on 22 counts, including attempted murder and hate crimes, for the violent rampage during which he allegedly hit the victims, the two sisters, with a cement block and attacked two other Asian-owned liquor stores. So it looks like he was going on an Asian warpath. So they say the cement block incident, which was caught on surveillance video, showed the sisters were closing the store when he showed up, kicked a display window in, and attacked them. They both tried to fight him off, but were unfortunately unpowered as he turned over some stuff in the store, and it fell on them. Okay? So he didn't start there. That was the third target of the day. So they say he allegedly started at another place where he was refused entry for not wearing a mask, and after being barred from going into that discount store, he allegedly returned with a large piece of lumber and attacked the security guard. Then he kicked the display window in and cussed at the Chinese people. Then he went to another store and he wreaked havoc there. Well, this is why I say this is some stuff that we've spoken about and some stuff we haven't spoken about. But when he went before the judge, after going through all of these indictments, the judge deemed him incompetent to stand trial and dangerous to himself and others. Well, the defense and the prosecution were in agreement. So he's been placed in jail since the time of the arrest, but they're going to move him to a mental health facility instead of facing trial. So, you know, periodically we do say that, you know, some of these people need to, you know, really find themselves in the mental health facility instead of going to jail, because jail is really not going to do much for them. No. Well, here's one of them. So I don't know if we're cheering or if we're mad. But here's one I know is going to make us mad, because here we go again. 14-year-old boy is charged with the attempted murder after he attacked an 8-year-old. Now, 14 years old, is being charged with attempted murder after he wounded an 8-year-old boy and another victim. And the other victim didn't have to be taken to the hospital. But the teen is facing two counts of attempted first-degree murder. 14 years old. 14. They don't give, you know, any additional information except just, you know, just saying that. So I don't know, you know, what else or why he did what he did. But whatever it is, oh, they charging him. So, I don't know, y'all. Okay, so we've been seeing a continual behavior in these adults. And one of the things that they have been, we've seen the continued behavior is the adults getting involved in the children's fight. Well, you got this 40-year-old Arizona man who was arrested after taking part in his son's fight. So they have the 40-year-old man was called to pick up his two sons from high school. And they were being sent home because of an incident with some other students the previous day. Now, I don't know why the next day, you know, he was being, they were being reprimanded and sent home. But nonetheless, they were being sent home. And he was asked to, they were asked to leave out through the back exit during the lunchtime. And the father refused and left the campus through the courtyard. So when they told him the reason why they asked him to go out the other way was because they were concerned about a confrontation, he told them, well, if it's going down, it's going down here. So sure enough, they got to some word exchange with a group of students in the courtyard. This prompted a fight, and he ended up getting involved with the melee. And of course, what do you think? They had video footage on social media where the students can be seen fighting, and the father was holding one of the students down on the pavement by his neck with his hands. So after the campus security ended up getting involved, he and the 15-year-old student were arrested. And they said that he admitted to fighting with the team because he said that student was assaulting his son. And he said that he could not see this going on and him not getting involved. So the father is being charged with felony disruption of an education institution. I told you, they come up with all kinds of different charges. Some of the stuff you ain't never even heard of before. And the son is facing charges of disorderly conduct and fighting. So they're running out of stuff to charge people with. So they are becoming quite creative in coming in becoming creative with these charges. Okay, so I want to start talking to the men. Like I said, I don't have a particular topic today, but I got some other stuff that I do have that I want to talk about. So I guess I'll get started with my brother Al, because he was on first, so he can help me with the conversation. Good morning, brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Good morning. You know, I got to do my daily quote. When you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. That's by my man Franklin D. Roosevelt. Oh, yeah. Good morning, Pastor Steph.
Hey, good morning, Brother Al. Franklin D. Roosevelt is who we talking about this morning. Wow. All righty.
Oh, yeah.
So tie knot in the rope and hang on. Okay.
Right. When you reach the end of that rope, tie a knot in it and hang on.
All righty, Brother Al. Thank you very much for your quote this morning. Oh, Brother Al,
yeah.
We got some talk about before we start talking about some other stuff. And one of the first stories, you know, we talk about this all the time here. You know, what do we feel, you know, these criminals, the time they should get or how we deal with them. And, you know, some of the times we talk about the fact that, you know, we can't just send people to jail all the time. That sometimes they need to go and get some mental assistance. Well, this, 51-year-old man was on a rampage against the Asian community, particularly the Asian liquor stores. And he has 21 counts. He's being indicted. He was indicted on, let me put it that way, including attempted murder and hate crimes, where he turned a cement block onto two sisters who were closing up their store after kicking the window in, and he attacked them. And after they were fighting him off, and he ended up turning the cement block on them, and they suffered quite a few injuries. Well, that's why he's being charged with attempted murder. He's also being charged with assault and all that other kind of stuff. When he went to another liquor store, they were the third visit. He visited two other liquor stores, and he attacked those workers and owners, kicking in their display window as well. And another occurrence at another store. Well, when they indicted him, the judge ultimately deemed him unfit to, you know, go to jail. So they're going to take him out of the jailhouse, and they're going to put him in a mental facility. He's not even going to get a trial, because they said he could not even, they didn't even deem him competent to stand trial, and he's dangerous to himself and others. Well, what do you think, Brother Al?
You know, one of the sad things that I've been saying this for a minute is that, being that, you know, don't get me wrong, mental health is real. We know that. And what bothers me is that that's going to be an excuse for all the crimes. Oh, he mental this and that. Now, I'm not saying he can't be mental, but how about he just a racist? He just don't like Asian people, and that's who he attacking. You know, y'all didn't evaluate him or nothing. Oh, he did this, so he must be crazy, and he harmed this person and that person. Let's put him in a mental place. You know, my thing is, okay, do some extensive medical whatever on him to see if that's the case. You just say, oh, he ain't got no trial, nothing. Put him in a mental place. You know how many people going to play that card and just get off? You know, so that it disturbs me that they're doing that. You know, he might just be a racist person. He might just don't like Asian people. So you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to harm none but Asian people.
Well,
now, if he was doing
thing,
that to any liquor store.
But hold on, Brother Al. Hold on, because I actually do agree with you. I'm going to let you keep talking. But actually, they say that based on a psychiatric evaluation, he was ruled incompetent to stand trial. Now, continue to talk. I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay. No. Thank you. No, thank you for that. Again, I would say yes to that if he was attacking all different kind of people. He targeted one race group, and that's who he attacked. You know, so, you know, I mean, people going to use that mental card, man, and so many people going to just get off with that. I mean, if I did something, you pick me, all I got to do is act crazy. Oh, yeah, he crazy, so put him in the mental out. You know, still place him in jail, but get him mental help. And I don't have pity for people doing that because, again, people quick to say that, but when it happened in your own backyard, you want different results. Again, whatever the fact is, those Asian people, that was somebody's mother, brother, sister, wife, you know? Nah, I'm sorry. I see it different on that.
Well, I have to agree with you. You know, we do say that there are times when, you know, you're deemed, you know, mentally ill, and going to jail is not going to get the job done, because you go to jail, you'll come, if they give you, you know, an exit date, you know, you're going to come out and you're going to do what you've been doing. But, excuse me, I think it's kind of weird that you're deemed incompetent to stand trial when, you know, because they're not mentioning other incidences. You know, they're mentioning just these three incidences where he's got 22. Again, he's indicted with, was indicted on 22 counts, including attempted murder and hate crime charges. How are you going to incompetence on a hate crime? Like you said, you only targeting it in these three, in these three incidences. You racked up 22 indictments, but it's a hate crime against one group. Like, and I agree with you 100%. Well, how is that incompetent? You seem to have known who you wanted to target. So how incompetent are you? I agree with you. I really do. And I agree also that, you know, this is going to be the flag that everybody's raising. And that's that, you know, mentally ill, and, you know, the prosecutor as well as the defense, you know, agree. Of course they're going to agree when it's defense, right, Brother Al? Ain't that what you trying
that's
to
right.
do? You trying to get your man off. So, come on. You ain't doing nothing great. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly
know
what they're doing.
I don't know,
that, that's what they're going. That's what they're going. That's what they're going to constantly use. You know, when you look at this whole world on things that's going on, even when somebody go out and commit a crime, now you're a man and you go out and commit a hideous crime, you going to jail, but you can sit there and say, well, you know what? I consider myself a woman. I'm a transgender. They're going to put you in the woman prison. So, you know, it's, I'm telling you, it's just crazy. So, again, you giving the criminals more power and where they're able to dictate how their life is going to turn out from committing this crime that they did.
Absolutely. Oh, all right. Oh, here we go. 14-year-old boy charged with attempted murder after he injures an 8-year-old and another victim. Now, they don't give any information other than, you know, this is what, you know, he did. He attacked this 8-year-old and another child, and now you're going down for attempted murder. Oh, my gosh. We've been talking about these kids for the past 2 weeks and how they menace to society. And, you know, what are you doing with an 8-year-old? That you, that there's attempted murder, Brother Al.
Wow, that you know, I wish they would have gave more on the story, because I would like to know what did he do. So attempted murder, actually, he tried to kill that kid then, and I'm wondering, like, what did he use a weapon, or, you know, what did he do to try to, kill this other child, you know, and you got to get him now. Get him now and get him some serious help. You know, I wouldn't say put him in jail, but we got to get him in a facility and go some deep, extensive psychology thing and find out what is on your mind as 8 years old that your mind is set to kill somebody. You know?
Yeah.
And again, they destroying these kids' minds, you know, like I said, with these violent video games, which we talked about, you know, and I get on my parents all the time. You know, people say, oh, these big games come out and the kids get on it, and the parents don't even look at it. They just say, oh, you know what? Everybody's playing and it's a big game, so I bought them this shirt. And I'm like, do you know the content of that game? I always stress about that biggest game, Fortnite. Fortnite, they drop you out and you going against millions of people. And your goal is to kill as many people as you can to get points. And these parents don't see nothing wrong with that.
Wow. Well, that might very well be one of the reasons why our young people are so violent. It might be a reason why you've got a 14-year-old who's attacking an 8-year-old. That's almost half your age.
Yeah.
Where there's
yeah.
an attempted.
I'm sorry,
murder
I mixed it up. I meant 14-year-old. Yeah, that
I know what you meant.
That's
you
insane.
Know,
yeah.
That's crazy. Why are we worrying about these 14-year-old kids attacking someone younger before we had the 8-year-old kid attacking the 6-year-old, you know, after bullying him? You know, what is going on that they're so young and they're targeting, you know, these younger people? And you do know, you do need to sit them down and find out exactly what's going on with them, what seems to be the problem. You know, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from, Brother Al? I don't know. I don't know. You know, maybe when we sit down and ask, they'll give some answers.
Yeah, and it's so much, you know, like I said, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I just watch, and it's just so much violence with these young kids. And you know, because I'm one of the deans at the school, so when I pull the kids in, one of my questions to them is, why are you so angry? And they can't answer me. I'm like, why are you so angry? And they just look at me. I'm like, I'll ask you a question. Why are you so angry? And they can't answer. So, these, you know, and they take all the discipline away. So we cannot discipline the kids. And I ain't even talking about physically disciplining them. I'm talking about, okay, we're going to put you on detention. We're going to suspend you for this and that. And the parents come up to the schools and go off. And then the superintendent, they scared of the parent. Oh, you know what? We don't suspend him. Just do this and that. And I'm just looking at them like, I just walk away because I know my mouth. And I'm just like, wow, y'all destroying our children. And I walk away. So now this kid done did something crazy. Now he gets off. And it's like, he ruled it all. Okay, I could do this. The only thing going to happen is or I could do this and my mother going to come up here and beat up the teacher or go off. I tell my parents the same thing. If you have a disagreement with this teacher or something happened. I'm not saying all the teachers are right, but you come up to the school and you talk to that teacher or yell or whatever, but not in front of your child. These people do it in front of their kids, and I hear it all the time, Pastor Steph. Yeah, I don't like Miss So-and-so. She always doing that. All I got to do is tell my mother. My mother going to come up here and beat her behind because you give this kid power. So
well,
it's a mess with our children.
Let me ask you something, and I want to throw this out, and I want to see what you think. Do you think that some of this stuff is not the reason why they can't answer is because they're not angry more than they're perpetrating what they're seeing the parents do?
Yes, I do agree with that. And, you know, there's some kids where I asked them, and I said, oh, well, he said something about my mother. And this. I said, okay, so why didn't you just walk away? He didn't touch you. Why didn't you walk away? And I get the same response every time. Oh, if I walk away, my friend's going to think that I'm a punk. I get that same answer all the time. And I always ask that question just to see it. I've been taking the survey, and it's been 100%, Pastor Steph. I don't care what it is. I'd be like, okay, why you just didn't turn and walk away? Oh, because my friend's going to think I'm a punk. I can't have that. This is their response. So it's like I got to prove to my friends I'm going to stand my ground. I got to prove to my friends that I ain't no punk, so I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so, you know, the other day, Pastor K.O. was in a conversation with us when we were talking on Tuesday about, you know, the behavior of these children. And one of the reasons why is because the parents are doing all kinds of things in front of the kids. And
yes.
We talked about, you know, not the parents doing all these kind of things. So the children are just imitating, you know, we talked about the parent who shot up, who did the drive-by and shot the girl in the face. With the three children in the car between the ages of 4 and 9, And then she went and got her nails done afterwards. And we were talking about the fact that the kids didn't seem to holler, or they were fine when she went to the salon to get her nails done, because she was able to actually get her nails done. So the kids couldn't have been doing nothing to that. So we figured, you know, well, that's because they're accustomed to seeing this behavior. And probably they're imitating this behavior, which is why they can't answer as to why you're so mad, because some of this stuff they're not doing out of anger. Some of the stuff they're clearly doing because they're mad, but other stuff that they're doing is because they watch the parents do it. So that's what made me ask you, you know, do you think that some of the stuff is just perpetuated from what they've seen and what they have seen as being normal?
Right, yes. And I give you a perfect example. I just dealt with this last week. No, the week before last, 2 weeks ago. There was a young lady in the classroom. She had a fight with another student. We broke it up. We brought her to I took her to the dean office. The other guy took the other one somewhere else, because we always separate them. When a fight happened, we have both students write a statement. Then we call the parent, let them know, hey, your daughter was in an altercation. We're getting to the bottom of it, and we'll get back to you to let you know what consequences may be, you know, after we investigate. But we have to call and let you know this is what happened. So I called one parent. I said, listen, this is what happened, and we're investigating. She said, okay, that's fine. Is my daughter okay? I said, yeah, it was okay. We broke it up before it got too crazy, and I have her with me. And she's like, okay. I said, well, I'm going to keep her out of class until we do get this situated. The mother said, okay, no, I don't want that to happen. I said, well, that is our policy. No, I don't want that to happen, because then my daughter, she's sitting there, and then they're going to think that she's a punk. They're going to think that she's a punk. I want my daughter back in class. I said, miss, we cannot put her back in class, because then they're saying, well, I want my daughter back in class. And you know what? I'm telling you right now, all I got to do is make a phone call, and I make one phone call, and it'll be on. And I'm just sitting there looking at the phone like, this is why she acts like that, because her daughter acts the exact same way. And I'm like, wow, this is where she get it from.
Yep.
So it's definitely true that if you're listening, parents, stop doing these things in front of your children, because they're picking it up and they're thinking it's okay.
Yep. We learn this behavior, you know, a lot of times from home. And if she's behaving like this now, the parent, then she's shown this behavior to the, you know, in front of the door that other time. So this ain't nothing new to this girl. Is this the way her mama acts?
Yeah.
All right.
And you know what I put to these children, Pastor Steph, and because all the kids, you know, they love me at their school, and these kids, they talk to me more than they would talk to the counselors, because I keep it real with them. I tell them the truth, and I tell the kids, I say, you know what's so funny about this? I said, something that y'all don't think about. And I did a scenario with the kid. I said, you know, I said, this ain't me and you getting a fight, right? I said, now, I might got the best of you, or you might have got the best of me. You mad because I beat you up, so now you go home and get your brother. Your brother come up to the school and want to fight me. Now I go call my brother. My brother come up to the school and want to fight him. I said, now one of our brothers may pull out a gun and shoot the other brother, and that brother is dead. How would you feel? And the kids looked at me because they don't think that far in advance. I said, now one of our brothers got killed because of our nonsense. And they get quiet, so I give them a lot to think about, and they never thought about that. I said, anybody could call somebody to back them up, but here's the thing. When somebody gets seriously hurt or killed, how you going to feel? And he's like, wow, Mr. B, we think about that. I said, I know you didn't. That's why I'm talking to you.
Well, one of the things is the parents don't think that far. So how are the kids thinking that far?
Right.
The parents clearly don't think that far. And that's the same way with this 40-year-old father who goes to pick up his kids at the school. And now he's involved in the fight. He's going to hold the kid down because his son was in a fight. Nobody thinks that far. Now here you're getting arrested for being involved in the fight at the school. And you didn't think that far. They told you to go out another door. But you got to do it your way. This is why the kids act the way they do. Because now how are you going to the school to pick up your kids and now you become a part of the problem? Same thing with your phone call. instead of the mother helping to resolve it, she becomes a part of the problem. So it's like you can't win for losing. Can't win for losing, Brother Al. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're going to have a little chat with Pastor KL before we talk to the both of you together. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
It sounds like you in a haunted house with the creaky doors. How are you?
I'm doing well.
He's opened up
well.
A crib.
Oh, we got these stories, Pastor Tao. We've written with stories of these people who are just mental. Well, you heard about, you heard me describe the story of the Baltimore man who is targeting the Asian people this day. And he's got 22 indictments. And after going through this psych evaluation, they deem him unfit to stand trial. So now they're going to put him in a mental institution. And we talk about this all the time. You know, not everybody is deemed fit to go to jail because jail is not going to necessarily help them. But what do you think about this particular ruling on this particular matter?
I think it's absurd, personally. I think that if I held hands with Matt Turner and went around and killed all these white folks, they wasn't going to say I was mentally crazy. You know, there wasn't a suggestion of let's look at his psyche. You know, they were just going to kill me or put me to jail. I don't think that I have the same privilege or the same options. You know, they might not even have taken me to be observed psychology or psychiatry. So I wouldn't have had that opportunity. I think they would have just put me in jail and let the chips fall where they may. You know, and I could not like all white people and attack all white people, you know, and it just be a racist thing. I think it's just a racist thing. And a racist thing does not make you, you know, crazy. That's just your way of life. That's your way of thinking, you know. And that's a lot of times you've been raised. So I don't think that it's a crazy thing. I just think that's who you are. And to say that I can go around and kill all Asian folks, and then after I get caught, you put me in a facility, a mental facility, I think that's a cop-out. I think I won because I did what I wanted to do, and then I won. I don't have to go to jail.
Absolutely. You know, it seems like the times when they use to execute these things, the timing ain't never right. I also have a hard time, Pastor KL, with not only is it that you only targeted Asian people, but this is only one incident. Now, I know it's three different occurrences, but to me it's still only one incident. And I'm not saying that we should wait till you have nine incidences, but to me I think it's a little early in the game to say whether you're mentally fit or not. And the reason why I say that, I go back to the fact that we're talking about one incident where you're targeting only one nationality. Because that only looks like one particular crime. So, you know, if this was something across the board over maybe a period of time, not no one day, then maybe also we could look at, you know, a possible mental illness. I don't know. I don't know how much sense that makes, but I agree. It's just a little too early, you know, when you're dealing with one sect of people to just say he's mentally unfit. I don't know. We're back to talking about these children, and you've got this 14-year-old boy. They don't give a whole lot of information, but he's being charged with attempted murder, of an 8-year-old and another victim. And it's like, okay, well, here we go again, you know, with our children being, you know, in these situations. And Brother Al brought up an instance, and I asked, and he said he asked the kids, you know, why are you so angry? And I have to agree. You know, when you look at TV, when you look at movies, and they show these young people, everybody's so mad. What in the world are you so mad about? And what do you think, you know, when we talk about they're angry? Well, what's your thought?
Well, I mean, I got a couple of things. One is that this is just the opposite of what you just talked about earlier. You know, why isn't this child being evaluated? He's automatically being charged with attempted murder. Why isn't he being evaluated? You know, he like you said, why is he angry? Listen, at 8 and at 14 years old, you don't have a reason to be angry. You angry because I took away your Nintendo. You know, and that should be the extent of your anger. You angry because you don't want to eat your vegetables, and I'm telling you don't get up from the table until you eat it. But that should be the extent of your anger. What? How long have you lived to know what angry is, or the level of anger is? I'm going to kill somebody. What have you gone through in your 14 years that has pushed you to that level, where now in my mind as a 14-year-old, the only way I can get rid of this is by killing you. You know, I'm just trying to figure out what kind of life, what was your daily routine in your life? What is your upbringing that makes you this angry? And before I say, okay, you know, murder or whatever, we should do an evaluation on the child to see what's going on. Because, listen, if at 14 you don't care about living or dying, jail is not going to do anything for you. It ain't going to be no scare straight, because out here, you don't care. You don't care about your life. You don't care about nobody else's life. So you're just going into a place where nobody cares about each other's life. So it may the best man win. So what's going to be the help with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, like you said, you know, that's not the alternative. That's throw them in jail, or throw him in a juvenile facility, and he's not going to get the counseling that he needs. He's not going to get the evaluating that he needs, because at 14 years old, most children haven't been through anything. You haven't even been through anything to be so angry about. You know, like you said, you know, are you responding to, you know, a parental move, and now you're walking around and you're angry and you're going to take it out on everything and everybody. So, you know, it's something that you need to definitely look at. You know, Brother Al also brought up something that you and I and the other panel was talking about the other day, about, you know, them perpetuating, maybe not angry, but more copying the behavior that they've seen, that's been exhibited before them, that makes them, you know, just do what they do. And that's something that we talked about again the other day. And, you know, I got to ask you, and I didn't get it. Yeah, I didn't ask Brother Al, but I want to go back to asking Brother Al a question. But again, the parents are out of control. You know, he mentions that, you know, he called the parent, and the parent wants to dictate the punishment or how they move forward in the school with their policy. And you don't get that right. You don't get that right to tell, you're saying you're disruptive and angry and what's the word I want to use? I can't even think on the tip of my tongue. Child to school, and yet you're going to dictate what we do with them afterwards. But, you know, again, with the 40-year-old father who got involved with the fight, you know, these parents are getting involved in things that, you know, they have no business being involved in. And as a father, you know, what is your thought with getting involved with your children's fight?
Well, first of all, I mean, the parents should be embarrassed by that. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go fight 9-year-old Pookie because you got into a scuffle on the basketball court. That's just not going to happen. You know, back in the days, you go and you talk to the teacher. I mean, and then you ask the teacher or the principal, can both parents come in? And we both sit down and talk like parents over our children. You know, I talked about, I think a couple of weeks ago, you know, when we were young, we used to think that our parents was the baddest thing. So our thing was, I don't get my daddy. You know what I'm saying? But we wasn't going to go out and react what we thought our daddy would do, reenact what we thought our daddy would do. You know, we left that for our mama and our daddy because they were our protector. But now we see things that mommy and daddy do, and we think we can do it as well because it's in our DNA. So we just go ahead and do what mommy does. So, you know, I won't waste mommy time coming up here or daddy time coming up here. I'll just do it myself. You know, but back in the days, you know, we went home and said, listen, mommy, daddy, we cried. This person did this. This person did that. And mommy and daddy said, okay, I'll go to school the next day. And mommy and daddy didn't show out. You know, they didn't go up there with the hair wrapped up and, you know what I mean, the nails, they took the nails off and they greased up their face. They didn't do all that stuff. They went up there very, very professional and went to the teacher. They didn't go to the child. They didn't scream at the child, yell at the child, you better leave my child alone. They went to the teacher. They went to the principal and said, what can we do to make this better? You know, we went up there like we had sense, not like we just got out of the ghetto. Out of the scene of the ghetto, and came up here and disrupted the whole class.
Absolutely, absolutely. The parents acted like adults, not children, and
right.
And that's what we're seeing. It looks like we're looking at the roles are reversed now, where the parents are acting like the children. So there's an issue that was raised. You know, I don't want, you know, the child could be suspended. And I wanted to ask both you and Brother Al, okay, so you don't suspend the child. What do you do with a miscreant? What do you do with this bad child if you do not punish them? And I'll start with you, Brother Al. What do you do with the children as an alternative to suspending them? Because when you suspend them, you can do the suspension at home, or they have done suspension at another school, or you do in-house suspension where you stay in the school and you don't go to the other classes, and you know, you're not intermingling with the other students. But I'm asking you your opinion. Okay, so if suspension is not the best route, what route do you take with this child?
Oh man, that's such a hard one. It's basically to get that child extensive counseling. Like I said, the problem with that, the system is so broken, and it disgusts me, is because, like I said, right now we in the school. I got grades 6 to 12, and we only got two counselors, and we got almost 700 kids in there. How can them two counselors deal with 700 kids? So now there's a law where we can't keep them out of school. They don't do suspension at home anymore. It's either in-house suspension, or if they get a superintendent suspension, they have to go to another school. And the crazy thing about it is, we got one young lady, this little girl, oh my God, she's in the sixth grade and she's just a terror. She got a superintendent suspension where they took her and put her in this other school. It's called suspension school. Pastor Steph, she was in there 2 days and they kicked her out of that. So it's like, okay, so what do we do now? They sent her back to us and she's still doing the same thing. And I'm like, do y'all not just don't care? We have to get this young lady some help. So my thing is, we have to seek whatever help that we need to get these students, our children, because if not, we're raising murderers, killers, rapists, you know, robbers. Those are the kids that we're raising right now. If we don't look extensively and put, we need to hire, they need to put more money and just hire somebody just to handle that part. Because it don't make no sense that this lady is a counselor and she getting paid all this money. And it's not about the money, but you getting paid all this money, and I'm counseling the kids more than you. They come to me more than they come to you.
Well, first of all, there's an overload. So, you know, going to, you know, Brother Al or Mr. Al or Mr. B to converse with him, because you take the time and you're not on the clock.
Right.
You know, when you're talking to a counselor, they're on the clock. You know, they're looking at how much time they spent with you, they got to spend with you, and you're not there. You know, the focus looks different. The focus is very different.
Right.
Because
it's like,
what do you think?
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Pastor Steph. I'm sorry. It's exactly what you said. Because it's like, okay, you look at your little calendar. Oh, okay, I got Johnny from 10 to 10:30, and then I got Kim from 10:30 to 11. So now you in there with Johnny. Johnny might be going through some stuff, and you look at the time. Oh, okay, Johnny, we're gonna have to wrap this up, and we'll talk tomorrow. But that kid needs to get that off his chest. But you can't do it because now you got to meet little Kim at 10:30. So Johnny got to get up out of there.
Right. So that's the way he feels. He feels like, you know, he's on the clock. But when they're talking to someone else, there's this issue of, you know, I feel like you're giving me time. And that's something that makes the difference. That's something that really makes the difference. Pastor KL, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about suspension or an alternative to suspension? So like Brother Al said, there's no more suspension at home, because now you leave the child at home to do what? But you have where you go to another school, or you have that you have in-house suspension in the school that you're in. What's an alternative to suspension in your head?
Well, I mean, of course, we know I'm not in the school system, but my thought is kind of different. You know, I look at it this way. You send a person, a child, an adult to rehab for drugs, and they do the rehab, you know, which is their suspension. And they go back home to the drug dealer. Now they're going to relapse because that's what they know. That's what they're used to. So you do this suspension in school, and I still got to go home to my crazy parents, you know, who does this stuff and who triggers this stuff. You know, then when I come to school, this is my outlet, because I've been in the closet all this time. I've been under the stairs all this time. Now I'm out. I'm going to cause havoc. I think the suspension, you know, of getting down to the root of it should be for the child and the parent. Because I think if you suspended me, meaning that I couldn't go to work, then I'd figure out what's wrong with my child. But if you only receive suspending the child, and the child's frustration is the parent, and they're taking it out on the school because no one else is listening and I'm not getting no other attention, but when I act a fool, then maybe I'll get some attention. And the parent is still living, is still going on with their normal life, then the child is never going to get help, because the child keeps going back to the drug house.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. If you're messing with my money, if you're messing with my PTO, if you're messing with my vacation time, oh, yeah, I just might, you know, spark up a different level of interest and a different level of behavior myself, or a different level of attention and resolution. I honestly believe, yeah, there's going to be a shift. Even if not in all parents, Pastor KL, at least in some parents. And I honestly believe that there, I remember, and I can't remember why Shawnee's of all people. That's how I found out about the in-house suspension. It's how old that is. And I don't know what had happened once. Oh, okay. She had gotten smart with the teacher and I think the principal. And I went I had to go to the school, and she had in-house suspension. And I was always the type of parent that they knew that they could have on speed dial. You know, you ain't got to worry about me. I don't care what kind of job I had or what kind of I'm going to the school. That don't make me, and I'm sorry. And it didn't matter what job. It didn't matter what the responsibility was at the job. If something happened with the kid, I'm at the school. And I remember going up to the school and, you know, talking with the principal. And, you know, they didn't have to get me, you know, to get extra involved. But, you know, when I went up there and we worked out a plan, you know, as to how, you know, Shawnice would be dealt with, you know, that was, like you said, a joint effort. It's not an issue of they just suspending the child and then the parent doesn't have to come to the school, or if the parent comes to the school, you know, they're not working out a plan. So that has a lot of logic to it. Brother Al, is that something that they do when the child is suspended? Do they have the parent come up there? What do they do?
What you said is right on target, and that will work. The problem is the parents don't cooperate with her. So I look at the parent on, how can we help if you don't help us? I talk to the parents all the time about that. And then you have some parents feel, well, y'all the school, y'all should figure it out. But no, this is your child. I'm asking you to come up to the school where we can figure this out together to help your child. And so it works perfect. The problem is the pushback from the parents, because you wouldn't believe how many parents, well, shoot, I got to work. I can't take off work to come up there. But this is your child we're dealing with. Your child is disrupting the class or causing the teacher not able to teach the class. So we need to come up with something to do. Well, I'm not coming up to the school. Y'all figure it out. So now we're stuck. So that's what the biggest problem is.
And, you know,
because we reach out to the parents. We definitely reach out to them.
No, it's very true, Brother Al, because I'm going to tell you something. Every time I've had to go to the school, do you know the top thing that the personnel says? We wish we had more parents like you. Half the parents we call don't even come up.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and Pastor KL, what you're saying is absolutely right. And I'm telling you that every I had to go to the major school more than I had to go to anybody else's school, and all the time. And I was disabled by the time I had to go to major school. I would walk to the school, and she ain't up the block. But I walked to the school, because, see, we're going to take care of this. When she went to high school, I had to take a bus across town, and that was two buses. But we're going to take care of this. And from elementary school, I never had a problem with her, but junior high and high school, if I had to go up there, like I said, I had to go to school for Shawnice, but her issues were always different. But all the time, that's all you heard from the school personnel. We can't even get the parents to come up here. And it's horrible. It's horrible to hear the personnel say that. We can't even get the parents to come up here, because just like you gentlemen said, if you start rattling some pocketbooks, some wallets, and some time, oh yeah, things would definitely change. I want to talk about something else kind of quickly, and again, it can fall back into the parents' lap. I'm gonna shift gear. The church has a prayer line for the children here at the church. And they talk to the children and pray with the children every day. And every day they talk to the kids about what the dilemma is. And the ages are, I think Mariah is the youngest, who's in the second grade. And, you know, it goes up to someone who's in, a couple of them who are in junior high school. And I think Mariah, who's in the second grade, is the one who brought up yesterday that the boys in there was a boy in the school who he keeps asking little girls to be their girlfriend. And she kept saying that it was wrong. So Vivian and Shantice, you know, they were trying to get her to describe and to actually articulate what was quote unquote wrong. And I'm gonna interject some other stuff, but I wanted you to understand where the origin of this came from. And they were asking, you know, well, is it wrong because he keeps asking a new girl out and before he has an opportunity to, you know, go out with one little girl, he's already talking to another little girl, asking her to be the girlfriend. I think at one point I heard that the little girl wouldn't want it to be publicized, but yet he was telling everybody about the fact that he asked a little girl out, and now everybody knows about the fact he asked a little girl out, and now you are asking another little girl to go out. Why are we going through this in the second grade? Are we perpetuating what we see at home? What seems to be the issue? And one of the things that came up yesterday, I think they focused a lot on, was attention seeking. Could that be the issue for this little boy? Because, see, we're going back to what happens in the school. And are these children ultimately trying to seek attention, which both of you have alluded to or directly said? But what do you think, Brother Al, is the issue with I'm asking out one little girl, and before I could finish with that little girl, I'm asking another little girl, and now I'm asking another little girl. And Mariah said every time they turn around, he's asking another little girl to be the girlfriend. Where do you think this stuff is coming from?
Wow. And being so young, first of all, I'm going to give Mariah a little pocket stick she can carry with her, number one. you just flick this, Mariah, and then you take care of it from there. But from him being so young doing that, he's doing what he sees. It's not even because he don't know what attention is just yet. He's doing what he sees, and it's so funny that this is an incident. I'm dealing with an incident with that now with a teenage kid. His father used to be out there doing this stuff, and now he's doing it to a point where he don't realize that he's doing sexual harassment. He just got a principal suspension yesterday because he go up to women, he say whatever he want to say to them, and he touch on them and stuff. And I'm like, bro, you are going to go to jail. Do you not realize? And when his father came up to school, his father was like, well, you trying to be me, and that's not what you do. And then I'm like, wow. So this, you know, so they see this and they think it's all right because the parents are doing it and they think it's all right and it's not. So this kid may get in some serious trouble. He just got a suspension starting today. And I'm hearing this little kid, you know, he's seeing the same, he's seeing it somewhere that, hey, it's okay to have all these girls to maybe dad is doing it, maybe uncle is doing it, maybe brother is doing it, but he's seeing it. That's why he's doing it.
Okay. Pastor KL, what's your thought? Second grade.
Yeah, I think Brother Al hit it on the nose. It's almost like a series of guess who's coming to dinner. You know, that's the kind of life you're living. You know, it's a guess who's gonna be at Thanksgiving this year? Who's gonna be at the house this year? How many kids have uncles that ain't their uncles? You know what I mean? This
wow.
is Uncle Somebody. This is Uncle Somebody. Every week you got a new family member. You know, so this is what they see. So again, you know, we produce what seemingly becomes the norm. So if it's normal that every time I see my daddy, when I go to his house, every other weekend, because that's when I can go over there, there's another woman, there's somebody else at the dinner table, and I want to be like my daddy because my daddy is my hero, then how can I not have more than one woman? Because this is what you do to be a man. because this is what I see my father doing. And I know that he's a man. So in being a man, I have to have more than one woman. So if at second grade, I got to start my pink game. Hey, babe, you need to be my girlfriend. Why? I mean, I like you, but you just need to be my girlfriend because I'm trying to be a man.
Wow. Is this also a level of seeking attention, being greedy for attention, Brother Al?
I would say yeah, too. You know, men love to hear the word, yo, you the man. Yo, you got all the girls, yo, you the man. So I would say yes, that has to do with getting some attention as well. Good morning.
What's your thought, Pastor K.O.?
I don't think it's attention. I think in the second grade, you don't know what attention is. You don't know what the benefits is of having more than one woman. I mean, what you going to do? Everybody going to give you a lollipop? You know, you're going to hold hands? I mean, there's no benefit for you of having more than one woman. This is just something that you see. So I don't know that is an attention grabber because you don't understand yet what the benefit is.
Interesting. Because we do know.
Well, Pastor Steph, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pastor Steph. I wanted to do a comment on that. I agree with Pastor KL to a certain extent on that. Now, if he's seeing that at home, right? If he's to say his older brother, whatever, and he's seeing that at home, and he's seeing how they're reacting to the brother or the father or whoever. And he's at school trying to get all these little girls. And then he come home and say, oh, yeah, I got so-and-so. And he may want that same reaction that family member is getting.
And before you respond, Pastor Kale, let me, because I wasn't going to go there, which is a good point, Brother Al. But I wanted to bring up the fact that we know from young, you know, children seek attention. And if he's, you know, has younger siblings, they may get the attention that he may want. Now, he may not understand, quote unquote, the benefit of having more than one girl in one sense. But like Brother Al said, it may be hitting him regarding attention in another area, such as if I get more people to pay more attention to me. You know, I always said I think the battle between Shawnice and Tamaja was jealousy. Shawnice was 8 years old by the time Tamaja came along, and Shawnice was the younger one. And Shawnice and her had 5 years between them. And so Shawnice would always pick with Tamaja and little things like that. And so that took away whatever she felt was the attention that she used to get. Now, I didn't think I gave all that kind of attention, you know, as a younger child or the youngest child between the two of them. But maybe I did. I don't know. I just treated her as a daughter. Maybe this could be going on in their home, in this little boy's home, where now his younger siblings, he's not getting the attention, but now to garner all of this chatter and, you know, he may not be getting the lollipop per se, but he's definitely getting attention. Is that so between that and like Brother Al said, by the time he gets home, you know, he gets attention by talking about all the stuff that happened at the school or during school time, is that something to consider, Pastor K.L.?
I mean, it's definitely something to consider. You know, I always say even negative attention to a child is better than no attention at all. So any kind of attention is definitely something to consider. You know, I think when you go to that point, yeah, if I'm getting attention because I'm throwing up the red flag and I want somebody to see me and notice me, yeah, that's a good thing. But as far as attention for I'm being like my daddy, I got all these women. Again, I don't think he understands the benefit of or the negative of having all these women. You know, he's just doing it because this is what he sees and he wants attention.
Well, listen, I now bring that up when you say, you know, he doesn't understand the negativity or the problematic issue of having all these women. But why men don't think of that, Brother Al? Men do it, and they're not thinking about the problems that's going to come when listen, you can't handle 2-3 kids. How you handling 2-3 women?
Because we crazy, that's why. We crazy. You know, we don't think about that because we're more so, like you said, looking at it like, okay, I'm the man. And then, like you say, you know, or we do it because we can get away with it. Because, again, there's a lot of women that accept it. Like, okay, well, I know you're seeing some other five, but just as long as I get my time. So we know we can get away with things, so we do it. Not that it's right, but that's why. We don't think about the consequences. Or you know, just like me when I was out there doing my running, you know, I didn't think about the consequences of having children by these different women and what drama I was going to go through. I didn't think about that stuff.
Okay. Well, Pastor KL, little Johnny in the second grade may not understand the madness and the problems that he will inherit by, you know, pulling in all these women. But a 30-year-old man sure does. A 50-year-old man sure does. But that don't stop them. Why not?
Well, okay. So you just went into two different brackets. Okay, so now a 30-year-old man and a 50-year-old man, it's totally different. You know, a 30-year-old man, you know, he still got his swagger. So he's thinking, you know, he's living in the now. He's living in the now, and he just wants to do his stuff right now. And if he can get away with it now, then we good. If somebody jumps up and gets traded, oh, my God, I would have messed up. But a 30-year-old man and down is just living in the now. A 50-year-old man and up is like, I'm about to die. And now I need attention. You know, I got to see if I still got it. I just want attention, you know, because it seems like these young cats is getting all of it. But I got to prove that I'm still in the game. So the mentality of a 30-year-old and down and a 50-year-old and up, they want attention for two different reasons. One wants attention because he's living in the now and I'm the Mac. The other one is that I know I'm going downhill and I need to retire my pimp game. But I got to prove to these young guys that I still got it.
Right. Well, I guess you guys have just described the madness that starts when we're in the second grade. And it takes us to, you know, they say you're a child twice. So you just started at second grade, and now you are 55, and you're still a child thinking, you know, my life is behind me. I got to try to catch up. I don't know. But what would be, you know, what would be your word of advice, Brother Al, to anyone who's out here trying to, you know, get their attention or seek attention, period? Well, what would you say? What kind of advice?
I would say if that means so much to you to have attention, get some positive attention. Do something positive that will draw positive attention to you. Don't just say, well, I'm going to do whatever. I bet if I go bust a window in this car, everybody's going to know who I am. Or if I go graffiti this wall, my name is out there, everybody going to know who I am. Do something positive that people can remember you by and, you know, commend you. Like, hey, oh, man, you got your doctor degree? Yo, that's a beautiful thing, man. You know, so if that attention means so much to you, do something positive to get positive attention.
All right. Pastor KL, what would be your word of advice to attention seekers?
My word of advice, especially to the men, you know, who needs the attention, you know, I don't care how old you are, from the 30s to the 50s to the 60s. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife sign is a good thing and a favor from God. You know, that's the best attention you can get. You know, when you have that wife, you know, when you have that one soulmate, that's all the attention you need. You know, we need to get to a point where we want attention from the right people, from the right one. You know, we don't need a whole lot of attention. A whole lot of attention, let me tell you something, a whole lot of attention, you know, is not always a good thing. It is not always a good thing. When you always in the paper, when you always in the news, that's attention. That don't mean it's good news. That don't mean that's good attention. You know, but if you find the right one and you get on a positive level, you know, that's all the attention you need.
Amen. Amen, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your contribution to our conversation today. We had another suggestion, and I'm going to do a little research and bring that to you guys. But thank you so much for helping our listeners understand about, you know, seeking attention and what all this means. Thank you, because this could be going on in the school and why the school is having such a hard time. This could be going on, you know, in the school where, you know, what they're doing as a punishment or a resolution, it ultimately ain't working, because ultimately that you're not targeting the right, or the right issue is not being addressed. Let's put it like that. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
You do the same, man. You do too.
Thank you so much. We can surely end up coming up with some good conversation this week. A little stimulating conversation, but at this particular moment, let's take the time to go before the Lord, holding hands and holding hearts. Heavenly Father God, we come to you and we say thank you. You have safely walked us through the week, and we're grateful, God, that we are here healthy, strong, in our right frame of mind. Everything may not be right. Everything may not be the way we want it to be, but at the end of the day, we are victorious because we're here. You've given us another opportunity to fix things. And every time, every day, every single day of this week, we have addressed behavior, our psyche, resolution, alternatives, and we're just grateful to you, God, for you being there. For those of us who have chosen you, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for just touching upon our lives, that we would even take the time to follow through with what the assignment is that you've given us to minister to your people, God, that we have prepared our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to be able to witness to your people, to be able to guide and counsel your people. And Lord, we thank you as listeners, because despite that we're here to minister, we still have to listen. And there's some awareness that comes from just listening. Even if we don't realize, we needed to be a part of this conversation. Even if we didn't realize we needed to hear this conversation this morning. But we thank you for allowing us to even have this opportunity that we can tune in each and every day to get a word from you, that you always come through. You have come through big time this week. And it's not that you haven't in other weeks, but this particular week has just been, you've just been hitting us left and right all week with one thing after the next. And for us to land today on attention and our behavior and how we have to consider the things that could be causing our children to misbehave, to be disrespectful, to not consider other people's lives. And that's all we've been talking about all week. For the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about our young people and how they have not considered other people's lives, how life has meant nothing to them at such an early age. And we're asking you, dear God, that as we may not be talking to the children right now, each and every morning from 7 to 9 or 6 to 8, that we're talking to the parents, we're talking to the neighbors, we're talking to the aunts, we're talking to the uncles, the grandparents, the coworkers. We're talking to someone who, even if they didn't have a child, if they don't have a child, that it can benefit them as they deal with young people, that it could benefit them to tell a parent, someone else, that Jesus saves from second grade. And we just pray for the second graders. We pray for the kindergartners. In this world, they're becoming of this world more and more and more. They're so influenced by what everyone else is doing, God. And we're going to pray for them today. We're going to lift them up before you, dear God, that they see the need to talk to you, that they be introduced to you, God. And we thank you for the prayer line for the children. And we pray, God, that as we've talked about there being a prayer line for the children, that other people will begin to start this program for their young people, for their children, to talk about the bullying, to talk about the selfishness, to talk about the mindless things that they do, to talk about the attention-seeking things that they do, to talk about everything. We can teach our children from very early to learn how to solve problems, how to come to you, and how to listen out for when you tell us to do things, that you can begin to speak more and more to our children the more we make our children available to you, God, that you're not breaking through brick walls. You're not talking to people who will ultimately not talk to you. But if we start teaching them from the second grade how to pray and how to communicate with you and to watch behavior and see it as wrong and come and talk to you about it, oh, what would that mean as they got older, as you spared their life to now experience different things? They can take those same tools and apply it and become victorious. They can now give their lives to you earlier because they'll see the benefit. They'll watch other children who have not given their lives to you, who don't know anything about you, and they can make that early decision to do that. We're going to thank you, God, for the children that we're dealing with, that whether they need help or whether they're on the better side of the behavioral spectrum, that everybody starts off the same way. But if we're taking the time to train our children in the way they should go, that when they get to be 30 and 50 and above, you should spare their life, that they would be thinking very differently, not only about their life, but we've been talking about how they don't even, from a young life, they don't even value life for themselves or anyone else. So we want to thank you, God, for this broadcast. Thank you for all of the players. Thank you for all the listeners. And if one more, children's prayer group got started. As of today's broadcast, we salute you and give you thanks. Because how many more children will be brought to you? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving us and introducing so many things to us. Things that we don't even think we need. Things that we don't even think that are important. But you just continue to bless our lives from all the things, from all the things that we've said and done. We give you thanks, God. Thank you so much for being who you are at all times and rescuing us even from ourselves. We pray that we have a wonderful, wonderful day in you and that all the things that have been talked about this week would all be addressed one way or another. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This week has really, it seems like we're getting more and more thought-provoking conversations. More and more conversations where we're clinging on to different concepts, understandings, you know, things that we may not have ever even considered. Again, God's investment, because his investment into us means the investment into the children's lives. The investment into us is the investment into our co-workers' lives, into our sisters and brothers and our parents and our friends, other family members. You know, because the more, even if we don't say it, the more we behave differently, we attract attention. The more we behave differently. We don't have to open up our mouths. But when people watch us, when they see us, they know the Jesus that's in us. And someone will want to follow and get to know the Jesus that you know. Thank you. Thank you for just being used by God. Letting God use you is a big thing. You know, I always like to say the Great Commission is always in effect. We are always supposed to be discipling. And sometimes that might be a little easier than others. Sometimes it's harder. But if we continue to utilize God's investment in us, we will be discipling without us even opening up our mouths, without us even making the effort. Think about our children. Think about that prayer group that's for the children, that the children are taught the ingredients of prayer. The children are talked to about communicating with God. And, you know, we talk about that all the time here. You know, how are we arming our children to go out into this world when decisions have to be made, when someone walks up to them and offers them drugs and they say no. You know, drugs are no good for you. Drugs kill you. God does not want us to use drugs. Our body is our temple. Imagine teaching that to a second grader. And that second grader believing what you've told them and following that regimen of praying every day. When they sit down in a group and they're talking and, you know, feeding off of one another, you know, because a lot of times it's not until, you know, we start talking out loud that other people begin to understand that they're not alone. they're not the only ones going through something, that they're not, you know, experiencing anything that's authentic. You know, the temptation, the Bible tells us that there's no temptation that is uncommon to man. You ain't the only one. You're not the only one going through anything in your life. We're talking about attention seeking and a second grader asking another girl after another girl after another girl. And they just kept prodding her because she just couldn't tell you what was wrong. She just kept saying, but something's wrong with that. Imagine how we're teaching them to articulate how they feel and what they're thinking. And, you know, I even identify with that. I always tell people, you know, when you hear things, you just know it's wrong. You just feel it's wrong. You just know something ain't right about that. You may not be able to put your hand on it, but you know something ain't right, and you begin to talk to a person and explain things to them, and, you know, then you come across the scripture. He went, I knew I was feeling what I was feeling. I knew something about that wasn't right. And here you have God's word pointing directly to it. You know how many times this happened to me? So it's important that when our children are being taught, you don't realize what you're teaching them. And no one's ever literally come out and said to her, you know, well, a boy asking a girl, and then another girl, and then another girl, is wrong. But all the other things she's being taught helps her to understand that something's wrong. And helping them to understand and articulate what's wrong is so important, because that's the stuff that they'll be able to take with them throughout the rest of their life. And they'll begin to trust their instinct. They'll begin to trust what God is giving them. I may not be able to say what's wrong, but I know to stay away from that. I know to stay away from you. I know to watch out for people like you. Oh, how important this stuff is. And we've got to teach them from very early to just be on guard, just be on alert, because the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy even our young people. Shanti's brought up something so valuable yesterday about how he's attacking our young people. He's going around to our young people. Too, don't we? Wait until they're in the midst of a battle to now try to teach them how to pray and what to look out for. We got to teach them from early. So let's make sure we start teaching our children younger and younger, and we won't have all of these problems that we're having. Let's start being proactive and getting the job done from a different angle. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my men, for coming through big time today, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us all week. I pray that you are blessed by what you've heard. I pray that you utilize this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, God spare our life, where we will be praying together during the Word Prayer Project Sunday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Until then, God spares life. I love you.